All right, good evening. Now, this here what sermon, it was birth, you know, as I lay on my sofa. Yes, I was listening to the scriptures. I've got a Bible. It's on, you know, a what little, you know, like what, radio? And I was laying there and I was listening to chapter after chapter after chapter. And then all of a sudden there was Jonathan. And what Jonathan, chapter after chapter after chapter, just what Jonathan did. And how Jonathan lived. Now this day is a day of what remembrance for me. This would have been just my wife's 48th birthday. 10 years ago she died. But she was just like Jonathan.
Amen.
You're just one that had just real, real character. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. And just for your holy word. For just men and women who live for you. Who did not care about themselves. Who cared for others, who lived. Not selfishly. But sacrificially.
Amen.
And Father, as we look at this man called Jonathan, who was King Saul's son, and as we meet this man, Lord, as he is ready for battle, he is a man of action. May you, Lord, guide and direct us. And Father, help us to have these same qualities in our life. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, you have a bulletin. No, not a bulletin. Well, the outline there before you, it is a fill-in outline. Just Jenny likes these. And so with Jenny, she's downstairs tonight. Oh, man. Okay, good. Yeah, all right, Jenny. It is for you downstairs, Jenny. Okay. Jenny always asks for these. And so this time, I would actually just did the outline first, not the PowerPoint. I actually did the outline first. So, meet with Jonathan. He is first what mentioned in what 1 Samuel 13, just one, and went through just three. Just turn there, just with me. Me, please. Just 1 Samuel, just 13, okay? And I'll start in what reading there. Just 1 Samuel 13, verse 1. Saul what reigned just 1 year. And just when just he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for him 3,000 men of Israel. And what 2,000 just were with Saul in Michmash, plus in the mountains of Bethel. And 1,000 just were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And with the rest of the people he had sent away, every man went to his tent. Notice that what Saul's got 2,000 men, but what Jonathan, he only has 1,000. But he is but this man has what courage. He had less men, but he attacked the garrison of the Philistines. Look at verse 3. And what Jonathan attacked, the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah, or what Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all of the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Now with that word, what garrison, that means to guard. The Philistines, they had what set up this here just military post to protect the land that they had just conquered. There is no mention how many men just were there, but Jonathan attacked it. He's got 1,000 men, and he goes and he attacks. He's got courage. He is a man of action. But there's an interesting note here. And just what is interesting is just what the Israelites had to fight with. And what note, 1 Samuel chapter 13, just verses 19 and 20. Turn there, please. Verses 19 and 20, just maybe you can just look down the page. Verse 19, now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. And there was no blacksmith in Israel. There were no swords. Because there was no blacksmiths. The Philistines, they had taken all of the blacksmiths and taken them away. So they had no weapons. Okay, look at for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears, but all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines, to sharpen each man's plowshare, mattock, his axe, and his sickle. Verse 22. So it came about, on the day of battle, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and with Jonathan. But they found us with Saul and with Jonathan, his son. You know, only Saul and Jonathan had a spear plus a sword. No one else did. So what Jonathan is here, just man of action, this man of what courage, he attacks with 1,000 men and one sword and one spear. They had plowshares, they had clubs maybe, but the Philistines had everything else. Look down further, just you learn that verse 5, if you would jump back with the verse 5, the Philistines had 30,000 chariots plus 6,000 horsemen. And what people had, the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. They had a lot more. Here's Jonathan. He's got 1,000 men. He's got just one spear and one sword. But what he attacks, he had courage. He had courage. He was not afraid to stand up and fight. B. Next one, characteristic. Faith. Look at 1 Samuel 14. And what verse 6, please. 1 Samuel 14, 6. Next chapter. Then what Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. For it may be that the Lord will work for us. And for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So first he had 1,000. Now it's just him and his armor bearer. This is courage mixed with faith. We're going to do this because God is going to do it for us. Now that word restrains means hinders. Nothing hinders the Lord. Jonathan believed that. Nothing hinders the Lord. Absolutely nothing. He can save by 1,000 or he can save by just us two. And, he's a man of action. And so he goes. Yeah, and we'll look at the plan. To reveal himself. Okay, look at 1 Samuel 14, beginning in verse 7, please. 1 Samuel 14, 7. So his armor-bearer just said to him, "Well, and what do all that is in what your heart? Go then, here I am with you according to your heart." The armor-bearer had the same faith. No, God doesn't restrain. I am going with you. I am not going to let you go alone. I will believe God can do the same thing. In verse 8, then what Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men. And just we will show ourselves to them." Now here's another garrison. This hero garrison they've got to climb up to. But the plan is we're going to show ourselves to them. And we're not going to sneak in. We're going to let them see us. We want to walk right in. Right in the front door. Verse 9. "Then if they say what to us, wait until we come to you. Well, then we will stand still in our place. And will not go up to them. But if they say to us, and will come up to us, then just we will go up. For the Lord has what delivered them into our hand." That was a sign to them. That if that's what they say, man, just we're going to be victorious. Verse 11, "So both of them showed themselves with the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, 'Look, well, they were Hebrews are coming at from the holes where they have hidden.' And then the men of the garrison, called to a Jonathan and his arm, plus his armor bearer, and what said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you something.' And what Jonathan just said to his armor bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel.'" Amen. Courage and faith working together. And just what was the result? Trembling. And just not for Jonathan, not for his armor bearer. Verse 13, and when Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with the armor bearer after him. When they fell before Jonathan, and as he came up after him, his armor bearer killed them. You know, here we would go again. He's got the only sword. He's got the only spear. And just what did his armor bearer have? You know, maybe a club, and he knocked. Plus, he crushed their skulls as with Jonathan stabbed them. Who knows? But they had a great victory here. Verse 14. With the first slaughter, just with what Jonathan and his armor bearer made. And just was about 20 men, just within about half an acre of land. And what there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that there was a very great trembling. Two men, courage and faith, men of action. Who went forward, and everything trembled. Okay, next, honesty. Look at honesty. Yeah. Let's go to 1 Samuel 14, please, verse 36. Let's jump to verse 36. Here we have, honesty. Jonathan gave no excuse. But he admitted his sin. Let's start in verse 36. And now what Saul said is, let us go down after the Philistines by night and we'll plunder them until the morning light. And what let us not leave a man of them. And what they said, and what do just whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, let us draw now to God here. So what Saul asked with counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them to the hand of what Israel? And what, but he did not answer him that day. There was a problem. Something happened. Something happened. Nobody knows about it. Saul made a vow that if anybody just ate anything before they were done, that they would die. Yeah, well, Jonathan didn't know that. Jonathan saw some luscious honey. Sweet and beautiful. And he probably just stuck it in the end of his bow and he stuck it in there and he pulled it out and he licked his bow. Then his eyes brightened. It was so sweet. But he wasn't supposed to do it. But he didn't know. So they cast lots. And to make things quicker here, jump down to verse 42. And what Saul said, cast lots between just my Jonathan and me. And what Jonathan, he was taken. Well, then what Saul what said to a Jonathan, and what, tell me, what have you done? And what Jonathan just told him and said, I only tasted a with little honey and with the end of the rod that was in with my hand. So now I must die. Jonathan was honest. Now what somebody else had already told him, just what his father did. He could have said, Dad, you blew it. There was all this food left behind and there was this honey. You know, it gave me energy as soon as I ate it. But you made a stupid vow, Dad. This is your fault that I have to die. But that's not what he said. He made no excuse. Nope. I had that honey. I ate that honey. Now I must die. But the people, people spoke up and said, oh no, man, he's our hero. Look what he just did twice. Yehi, what shall not die, and what they would spared, and what Jonathan. All right, next. D, friendship. And turn with me to 1 Samuel 18, please. 1 Samuel, just 18, verse 1. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan just was knit to the soul of David. And what Jonathan just loved him as his own soul. And what Saul, what took him that day, and just would not just let him go home to his father's house anymore. Well, then with Jonathan and with David, and made a covenant. Well, because he loved him as his own soul. Notice they were knit together. Well, that word knit means to tie. To be in league together. And they had a fast friendship which could not be affected And with what changes or chances. As my wife used to say, they had kindred spirits. They had kindred spirits. They were one. Tied together. And just what they did, and just what they believed. Because with David, he was a man of courage. He was a man of faith. He was a man of honesty. He was all those things too. They were knit together. But also, and with Jonathan, he was, and with generous. He had generosity. Look at verse 4 there. And with Jonathan, and what took off, well, the robe, well, that was on him. And what gave it to David, just with his armor, even to his sword and his bow, and his belt. He gave Yehiwa gave just what he had to David. Now with Jonathan, he is the prince. You know, he's the only one that had a sword. Plus his dad. And maybe just they had some more now because they had defeated two garrisons. But just what he had, he gave away to this ruddy shepherd boy. He gave it away. I don't know about you, but if that is the only sword I have for battle, I'm not giving it to anybody. But he did. He gave it. He was generous. He was generous. Next characteristic. If you want to turn it over, I think it's on the back, the next one. And what concern for others, 1 Samuel 19, please. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 19, verse 2. So what Jonathan told what David, saying, "My father seeks to kill you. Therefore, please, be on your guard until morning. And would stay in a secret place and hide." He was concerned just for David's safety. He was concerned for his friend's safety. Plus, he was honest again. "My father seeks to kill you." I don't know about you, but I hope my dad doesn't want to kill any of my friends. But here it is. The king, Jonathan's dad, just wants his best friend dead. No excuses. So David is, Jonathan, he is concerned just for David's safety. But it's not only is he concerned just for with David, but he's also concerned just for Saul sinning. Look at verse 4. Thus what Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and what said to him, "Let not the king's and what sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you. And because his works have been very good towards you, let the king not sin." Jonathan didn't want his dad to sin. Trying to stop his dad from killing David. Don't do this sin. He is innocent. Well, you see, that's the next point. He had concern just for the innocent. Yeah, look at verse 5. For he took his life in his hands and he killed the Philistines. Oh. When the Lord has brought about a great deliverance and for all of Israel. And when you saw it and rejoiced. And just why then? And just will you sin against innocent blood? And with the kill of David just without a cause. Or were you concerned for the innocent? Are you? There's a lot of innocents out there that is being destroyed. By the education system. By our government. By wicked, wicked people. And just what is the church doing about it? What are we doing about it? Are you concerned for the innocent? Well, Jonathan was. He was concerned for the innocent. Well, time's flying. All right, next. And what we see here is what loyalty... And why is it this working? There we go. 1 Samuel chapter 20, please. Chapter 20. Oh, and what verse 1. Here we see here is what loyalty to his friend David. He's loyal. And verse 1. Then what David... Oh, and what fled... And from what Naoth... And what Ramah... Oh, and just went and said to a Jonathan, what have I done? And what is my iniquity? And what is my sin that is before your father? And with that he seeks my life. And so what Jonathan just said to him, by what no means you shall not die indeed. My father... And just will not do anything, either great or what small, just without first telling me. And just why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. They come up with a plan. David is going to disappear. He is going to hide. And there's a special feast that is coming up. It's going to be, what, 3 nights? There's a feast. David is supposed to be there. But they've got a plan that what David is what not going to be there. And so the first night, Saul thinks David has sinned. So he's not going to be here. Didn't show up. But what second night, he you know, King Saul's suspicious, and he asked with Jonathan, just, where is David? And boy, that just lights a fire. That what lights a fire. That what King Saul what picks up a spear, and he tries to kill his own son. But he was loyal to, you know, David. He even called his mother. Let's see. Okay, do I have that here? I don't think I put that on here. Verse 30. Then when Saul's anger just was aroused, though, against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Not only just did what he attacked Jonathan, he attacked his mother as well. But David, he was loyal. No, I'm sorry. With Jonathan, he was loyal to what David. But he was also what loyal to his dad, even until death. Turn with me. To what 1 Samuel and what 31:2, please. And 1 Samuel 31:2. And then the Philistines has followed hard after Saul and his sons. Well, and the Philistines what killed Jonathan. There was Jonathan still fighting next to his father. He was loyal. Loyal to his friend David. And what loyal to his dad who had tried to kill him. He showed loyalty. Now, the application, what are you known for? What does your character look like? Jonathan, he just was a man of what? Courage, faith, honesty, just friendship, generosity, concern for others, and what? Loyalty. What about you? If God were to write about you, what would He put down? What does God see? Whoops, back one. Okay. And what are you known for? On your paper, just you've got a couple lines. Just write something down. Write something down. Apply it to yourself. Ask yourself. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. What am I known for? Am I like Jonathan, who is known just for all these good things? When we first just met with Jonathan, it is guessed that he's about 30 years old. And just when he dies, he's about 40 years old. And so we see approximately 10 years of his life. But just we don't see anything bad. Look what he was known for. What about you? Let's pray. Father, may we look at our own lives, Lord. And Lord, just may we confess those characteristics that are not godly. And may you help us to stay away from them. May you help us, Lord, to apply your word to our life. That just we might have those godly characteristics that we talked about tonight. May you lead and direct us, Lord, and just may we be willing to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.